All right, guys, we made it. Woohoo! Today is day 5 of the special series on Everything is Content. And today we're going to talk about zigging when everyone else is zagging. And a quick little preview about this. And the bottom line is, you guys, you know, for the most part, all platforms work, all strategies work. It's just a matter of what works for you, where you want to create content, what type of content you want to create, and how consistent you can be in creating and promoting that. So anyways, again, this is part 5 of the special series, the final part, I should say, of the special series, Everything is Content. And this is all to give you a heads up about my workshop next week. It's live. It is called the Everything is Content Workshop. And you can go to kimdoyle.com/EIC workshop. All right, that's it. Let's get into today's episode. Hey there, it's Kim Doyle, and welcome to my show, where digital marketing meets real stories, experiences, and strategies. You'll get a behind-the-scenes look at what's working and not working in my business, as well as other experts who show up and share their stories. As much as I love talking about tangible marketing principles and tactics, we'll dig a little deeper with mindset and explore what's required to create a business you love on your terms that also supports your life. I want to help you understand the why behind the how. Whether you're a seasoned marketer or just dipping your toes in, remember, marketing is a journey and the goal is to enjoy it. My desire is to guide you on your journey and remind you that no matter what life throws at you, you've got this. All right, guys, welcome to day 5 of the Everything is Content 5-part series. You made it. Hat tip to you. If you didn't watch the other ones, depending on where you're watching it, they should all be here too. And they'll be labeled Everything is Content Part 1, Title Part 2, Title, etc. All right, so today we're going to talk about zigging when everyone else is zagging. And actually, it's more like zigging when everyone else appears to be zagging. And so here's what I'm talking about. So no doubt at one time or another, you have heard that something was dead, right? Email marketing is dead. Short form video is dead. Medium is dead. Like clickbait, right? Like I don't know. Anyways, sometimes I really do wish Buddhist monks had ran, you know, Madison Avenue and advertising back in the 50s. It would be a very different world. Anyway, so again, you can swap out email marketing is dead for any other strategy, marketing tactic, medium, whatever, right? Medium of content, type of content. Just big ol' yawn. And this isn't to say that things don't actually die or stop working, right? Because they do. Or they become less effective. So you have to do it differently, right? Like we just had this huge update to Google and Yahoo with, was it DMARC and DMIK settings with email? Anyways, so, and that's good, right? So follow the guidelines and you'll be fine. But for every single person that tells you something isn't working, you can find somebody who is doing incredibly well with that exact platform or strategy, right? And so here's an example. Recently, I was listening to a podcast. I'm going to have to put a note, I think, on my monitor that says slow down. But I was listening to a podcast with a male guru who was talking about, you know, ad costs are going to go through the roof because, you know, we're an election year and they did, and they're already costing more and all of these things and all the stuff that used to work didn't. Now, at the same time, you know, around the time I was doing these emails, I had talked to a dear friend who had launched a new business model in the fall of 2020, solely with Facebook ads, all cold traffic. And this, her strategy was different. There's plenty of strategies out there, guys. Laurels is about getting video views, building a warm audience that you can then retarget offers to, right? Because how many times does it take someone to see what you're doing to connect with making that sale, right? Or pulling the trigger on the sale. Anyway, so she launched this offer in the fall of 2022, and I want to say she did like $46,000, and her ads were profitable because she created a self-liquidating offer, meaning she was selling something low end on the front, like for $10, and then she had an upsell, and then she had an offer on this live workshop. Well, the ads then, because the low cost front end offer, she was profitable on her ads, right? So, because there's a cost to acquire a customer. So essentially, she profited and her ads didn't cost her anything. Okay. Fast forward to, All right, 2022, she did $500,000 in sales. She did close to that last year, had some issues with her ad account, and is on track to do $1 million this year. And so, yeah, will ad costs go up? Yes, but there's different. It's kind of like saying everybody who starts walking a mile a day should be able to run a mile in a month. That's not going to be the case, right? We all bring different experiences to this. And I've got another story for you. But she did all of that. My friend did all of that with Facebook and Instagram ads only with a low ticket offer. Okay, here's another example. And in the same day, all of these things had come in the same day or had come across my inbox, I should say. I get a daily digest from Medium. I'm a paying subscriber. It's like $50 for the year. And so that helps contribute to writers getting paid, right? And in the same digest, I kid you not, there was one article that touted the power of short form articles and newsletters. And somebody has now coined the term atomic newsletters. I have no idea what that even means. I think it's, you know, whatever. Anyways, and that's what you should do. Nobody wants to read long form newsletters anymore. And in the same digest for Medium, another article explained why the writer was going all in on Medium this year with long form content. Both had data to back it up, right? You guys, we're on a planet of billions of people. This idea that only one thing works is absolutely ridiculous. But here's the kicker. This isn't contrary information because personal experience is a differentiator here, right? It's personal. What works for one person may not work for another, especially when they don't like the opposing type of content. So if you're somebody who loves short form video and doesn't want to do long form video, you're going to tout the benefits of short form because that's your experience. And if it's not a natural flow for you to do long form content, then it's not going to perform as well, right? We bring that energy to everything we create also. People who don't like to write will share the power and value of audio and video and vice versa. It's kind of key, right? Like who we are and what we like to do matters when it comes to this. Now, don't get me wrong. There's always a learning curve and there's a level of discomfort when we're getting better at something. But you know, I like this enough to focus on the mastery of it, or I don't ever want to do this. There's nothing in me, right? You know how many people have said, I can't stand the sound of my voice. There was a time when I was like, that's what I sound like. I've been doing it so long now. Like, I don't even think twice. Practice makes perfect, right? Not the case. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you acclimate to it. So here's something else I'd heard on an audiobook, and this was Tori Dunlap. The audiobook is her first 100K. It's a finance book. It's not about how to make money online. I don't even think Tori's 30 yet. And she was one of the women who kind of got me fired up because her take on personal finance is, you know, the best way to fight the patriarchy is for women to make money. And I believe that. And money gives us choice. Money gives us freedom. There's a whole lot there, right? And you're the one who determines what enough is for you. Anyways, but Tori, this was so obvious. Personal finance is personal. She reminds the reader that we don't all start with a level playing field, right? And we all have different stories and experiences with money. So you stop to think about it. Somebody that grows up, I don't know, I'm just because Costa Rica, right? But if you have a young Costa Rican kid who grows up in a small little town in Costa Rica is not going to have the same benefits or access to information and knowledge that a child the same age who has parents that were, you know, in finance all of their lives and in the United States and access to higher level education and all of those things, right? And so we don't start at the same place. We don't bring the same experiences to what we do. So, you know, it has to work for you in order to work, right? And her whole point is, her mission is to educate, empower, and change the narrative. And she's doing it. She's doing a fantastic job. She takes a strong stance on finance gurus who shame and blame. This is the old conventional wisdom. Anybody that's going to shame somebody on public TV or radio, like, I live by the motto that you can be right or you can be kind. And if your goal is to make somebody else wrong, it's going to bite you in the ass at some point. It just is. And, you know, I don't know that I could necessarily call people out by names. But she's also dealing with something hugely important, you know, when it comes to money and how we move through the world. And how do you get better at something when you feel shameful about it, right? Moving on from Tori. But the best way to create a content strategy that works for you and is sustainable is to make it personal, not just through what you share, but how and where you share it, right? Plant your flag with what works for you. And this is circling back to, you know, you guys, I came up with everything as content so long ago, and I sort of abandoned it. I abandoned myself. We were using the hashtag with a planner brand, and I've believed it. But yet I started listening to all these external voices and noises telling me that you have to niche down, you have to niche down. And I felt very tamped down, for lack of a better word. The thing is, you still have to be consistent, right? You have to promote your content, and you need to do whatever you can to make sure it gets in front of as many people as possible. And in other words, if you're not consistent doing the work, it doesn't mean it doesn't work. So if you want to grow on LinkedIn, but you're not consistent and you're not showing up to engage and publish and whatever, then great. This is a huge reason that I want to master paid traffic this year. I would much rather focus on the content, on the properties I own, and I can repurpose it, but I'd rather run paid traffic and target the people that I want to talk to when it, you know, at the end of the day. You know, you can't create something two or three times and decide it doesn't work. Unless you're going to invest in paid traffic to your content, you have to give it time as well as put in the time, right? And it's kind of, you guys, I've shown this before. My first blog post on the WordPress chick was heinous. It was like a paragraph and there was no personality, no voice. And it's funny, I always thought I was a decent writer in school, but there was no flavor, not to mention, there was no voice, I should say. Not to mention, I had no clue about formatting and reading on the web. This was 2008, but I did it anyways, right? You do it anyways, and then you get better and better and better. And so here's a little challenge for you. I want you to pick one to two types of content that you can create consistently, one to two times a week. This does not mean it has to be an hour-long podcast or videos or whatever, but maybe it's an Instagram reel and maybe it's a Facebook post. It doesn't make a difference, but commit to giving it a minimum of 3 months to gain any traction. Make sure you have promotion and repurposing plan and do it, right? So as an example, if it's a Facebook post, can you take that post and repurpose it into a reel? Can you repurpose it into a longer form written post? Can you put it in a newsletter? I mean, you know, we all know the 82,000 ways that you can repurpose a piece of content, right? I wonder how many there actually are, but that's all right. We're not going to worry about that. That would be a good question for ChatGPT though. So again, make sure you've got a plan on consistently promoting it. And then you want to measure what's worked at the 3 month mark and be honest with yourself. You know, you may look at the results and not be thrilled, but you'll probably also see that your content has improved. The quality of your content has improved from month one to month three. And you're going to be able to look at what did people like better. Sometimes it's surprising. I almost said blows your mind. Sometimes it surprises you, like that resonated with people. It's kind of like split testing headlines. You know, there are times where I think, oh, this is going to do better. And then I'm like, oh, it didn't. So you got to get out of your own head. Stay out of other people's heads too, right? And because AI is changing the entire content landscape, you want to start pulling more of you into it. It's not as hard to write an SEO optimized post in minutes, which then becomes a race to the bottom. Now, I will say this again, and I feel like I have to keep doing this disclaimer. I'm not anti-SEO. I just want to get people producing and publishing. And then when you're ready and you have clarity and you know where you can put some time and energy into SEO, or you can invest in someone to help you with that, then you go down that route. But it's more important that you get started than you try to get SEO right. And the more you can inject your voice and your personality and your experiences, the more unique your content's going to be. So you guys, that's it on this 5-part series. Again, if you want to download the whole 5-part series, again, these, I'm going to just give you a little, I'm calling this a profitable asset sort of content flywheel, is this started as a 5-part email series that I sent out 1 week. From that, I took all those emails and they're in a blog post that may or may not be published by the time this goes. It's about 4,500 words. I had to edit and tweak a little bit so that it wasn't, because I commented about emails when I sent the emails. And then I wanted to make sure I had the call to action in the post and then that is optimized. And from that, now I have 5 videos that I will create shorts from. So you see where this is all coming into play. And then from that post, I'll create social campaigns. Now, here's the thing. You guys, I'm going to double down on everything as content this year. And so it's, how can I take this one thing and give it as much possibility to succeed and thrive as I possibly can? So that's it. And I do have, depending on you're watching this, but I have an Everything is Content workshop. It's a whopping $57. And I'm going to walk you through the whole framework for Everything is Content, as well as introduce you to my ChatGPT, a custom GPT that I've done. But either way, guys, it's not about moving the needle, but it's constantly iterating and growing and changing and evolving. So anyways, thanks so much for watching, and we'll catch you in the next video, which is going to be who knows what, but we'll see. Thanks, guys. All right, there you have it. That's the special series. And guys, this all started with a 5-part email series. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper on how this whole experiment and test of kind of repurposing and reusing, but there's a real solid strategy behind this, actually. And again, if you've not registered for the live workshop on March 6th at 11 a.m. Pacific time, go to kimdoyle.com/EIC workshop, and you can register there. And don't worry if you can't attend live, you can, of course, get the recordings. As always, guys, thanks so much for listening. And next week, we will be back to our normal programming. Have a wonderful morning, afternoon, or evening. I hope to see you live next week.